absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, the show that explores all things intercultural. This is show number 94, coming to you from Denmark, and my name's Anne Fox. When we first got a mail about the University of the People, it was hard not to dismiss it as one of those unscrupulous degree factories which clutter your inbox. But I thought I had better just check. And the more I investigated, the more I realized that I hadn't been able to recognize this initiative for what it was, because it's so unique and visionary. And as I have found several times over the last 3 years, I realized that this was the product of one person's strong vision to do what they can to overcome disadvantage and misunderstanding. So this show is mainly about Shai Rashif and the free tuition online university he has founded in order to make higher education accessible to anyone with a high school diploma. This is an offer open to anyone, anywhere in the world. But where did the idea come from?
Where I realized that the new phenomena of social networking means that people are willing to help each other. Let's take this great phenomena of people willing to help each other for free and bring it into the academia, and we would have tuition-free universities.
Also, we'll be hearing again from Debbie Swallow in the UK, who some months ago was asking for famous intercultural role models. We should probably add Shai Rashif to that list now, but at the time we talked, the University of the People had yet to open. So we'll be hearing which other names cropped up. This is Debbie describing one candidate for intercultural celebrity. I wonder if you can guess who she's describing.
Seem to have that sort of common touch or way of being able to connect with people that Princess Diana has. And I had her down not so much from the point of view of cross-cultural ways of working, but certainly culturally intelligent in that she could connect emotionally with all sorts of people.
Mm. The world needs educated people, but universities are expensive. Shai Rashif, an Israeli entrepreneur, is trying to do something about this by harnessing the power of the internet, social networking, and open source educational materials to provide free tuition and low-cost examinations through his University of the People. I asked him first to describe his background, to see if there were any clues there as to why he'd come up with the idea.
I was born in Israel, and then I studied Chinese politics at the University of Michigan. Then I joined a company that dealt with for-profit education. I have been or had been involved in for-profit education for almost 20 years. I was involved in setting up the first online university for-profit one outside of the U.S. in the Netherlands in 2000. After selling this company and my other business, I got involved last year with Cramster.com, which is online study community, where I realized that the new phenomena of social networking means that people are willing to help each other. In the case of Cramster.com, it was a community, or it is a community, of people helping each other to solve homework questions for free. And that's where the idea came to say that let's take this great phenomena of people willing to help each other for free and bring it into the academia, and we would have tuition-free universities.
Now let's hear a little more about the costs of attending the University of the People. The tuition is free, but there are still some costs which need to be covered.
Basically, in order to complete a degree, if students come from a poor country, it would be about $40. And this amount will be the amount that they will have to pay, assuming that they will not get any grant or scholarship or loan, which we're trying to be able to offer them, since we believe that even this modest amount or small amount or inexpensive amount would still be expensive for some students, so we want to be able to help those as well.
Now, I know that you've only just opened with your first cohort of students about a week ago, but can you tell me a little bit about the spread of people that have signed up for the courses?
Yeah, sure. Very interesting. We started with 179 students coming from 49 countries. The largest continent is Asia. Among Asia, Indonesia is the number one country. Then come the U.S., and then come Europe, Africa, Asia, Latin America, etc. The average age is 31 years old, 70% male, 30% women, very, very high activity in the classroom for the first week.
Do you find that the concept gains acceptance everywhere? Because I'm aware that there are different perceptions of what education means in different parts of the world. So with this very low-key role of the professors, are there some people who may have difficulty in actually recognizing this as education, as the way to learn?
Yes, yeah, sure. And I think that you're right. And I think that a lot of people will come and be against it. Some of them will do that because, we threaten some people with the way that we teach, and some people will do that because they feel that it's not the right way. We think that it's the best way, not necessarily for everyone. It's definitely the best way for some people who do not have any other choice. Now, we're getting quite impressive support from all over the world. The fact that we have so many professors volunteering, it means something as well. And we have some very important high-level academics in our advisory committee. So we have a lot of support, but, a lot of people question what we do. They will follow us and see if it works. Now, in our case, it's not only that it's online, the role of teachers is limited. We think that peer-to-peer is a very extremely powerful tool. We think that if you look at, we look at Wikipedia, you look at the tendencies in the world, the role of the people is just increasing. I don't think that anyone would doubt that some students know about any topic more than the teachers. Not on everything, but on some topics. So it's not that all the wisdom are in the heads of the teachers. Some students are very effective. Some of the knowledge is available, or all the knowledge is available on the internet. So the role of the teachers is being changed by definition. A teacher today is not what teacher used to be in the past. I think that the role of the community is growing. The role of the teacher is changing. Now, I have to mention that in our case, when students ask a question and the community fails to answer him, we have an instructor that jumps in and helps him. And the instructor is someone that we guarantee. So he's a teacher. So we let the community work, and we let the students help each other, and we let the community of the volunteers to help. But if this one doesn't function, we jump in, meaning the instructors jump in to help the students. So even in our case, it's not that there aren't any teachers involved. And by the way, and their role is not only helping the students, but reading everything that they do along the semester and verifying the final grade. So they have an important role.
There's a lot more about the university and how it works if you go to their website at www.uopeople.org. Now, I don't know if you remember a few months back that we had a request from Debbie Swallow in the UK of 4C International to suggest the names of some celebrities who could be deemed intercultural ambassadors. Well, when I talked with Debbie about her main work a few weeks back, I reminded her about her request and asked if any good suggestions had come forward.
If you don't mind my asking, but you asked us whether we had any brilliant ideas of an intercultural role model, and I'm just wondering, did anybody come up with any ideas for you?
Yes, they did, actually. The ones that I had come up with anyway were Michelle Obama. I didn't want to get too political in, and therefore have Barack Obama, but I thought Michelle Obama was doing a pretty good job getting buy-in from all different walks of life and society within America. She seemed to have that sort of common touch or way of being able to connect with people that Princess Diana has. And I had her down not so much from the point of view of cross-cultural ways of working, but certainly culturally intelligent in that she could connect emotionally with all sorts of people.
You know, the problem I had with your question was that when you talk about well-known people, you immediately think about actresses or singers, rock stars. And I had the impression that these are exactly the sort of people who would be self-centered and maybe not take any notice of other people to a greater extent than the rest of us.
Yes, I think you're right. And I couldn't, there wasn't anybody there that I, that came to my mind. But some of the suggestions I had was Chris Patton, who had been a former ambassador to Hong Kong.
Yeah, he had a very difficult job.
Yes, and I thought he was quite a good role model. And then I've had Larry Page and Sergey Brin, the founders of Google, and then Javier Solana, who's the European Union High Representative, and Barack Obama came up quite a few times. Richard Branson as an entrepreneur.
It's an interesting question, really interesting challenge, I think.
Yes. Well, I had John Paul Getty, but the other person that was put forward by the same person was Gulbenkian. There's a huge museum in the United States and a foundation that he started. So I think John Paul Getty and this gentleman have come out of the same mold in the fact that they've left wealth to their countries.
Okay, so that is an ongoing challenge then, trying to think of somebody who we all know who we would put forward as a good role model for intercultural sensitivity.
Yes, others were sports stars like Lewis Hamilton and Tiger Woods, but I wasn't, you know, particularly taken with those. Of course, I mean, the first person that came to mind was Nelson Mandela, and then the second person was Barack Obama.
This is something you want to use in your talks as examples, is it?
Yes, it is. Because it's all very well talking about cross-cultural differences and how you can decipher the cultural code for brands and products and how you can shape your communication so people can get buy-in from you better, understand what you're saying better, and also for people to understand that the way business is done in foreign countries may not be the way we think about it. So instantly there's cultural differences because we're not communicating with the same concepts. But to then sort of try and pull all these strands together and say, well, who are the businesses that we can put up as role models or the brands that alter in terms of their localities? but who are the people? Mm. And that was the difficult one.
Debbie originally left a comment on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. So if you have any comments or suggestions, you could head on over there and tell us what you think. As I mentioned at the beginning, we found out about the University of the People when they sent us an email, so that's how the podcast works. The next show will be coming to you from Germany on October the 30th, hosted by Laurent Borgmann. And if you're listening, Debbie, then maybe Shai Reshef is another name that you might like to add to your list, and I'll give him the last word in this show.
Well, I believe that we have a lot of missions. Well, first of all, as I said, the immediate goal is to have as many people educated. And the more we have, the better lives they will have. I think that we show also universities that it is possible, if we succeed, obviously, that it is possible to educate the masses with much less expensive way than the traditional universities work. And I think that there is a message there for governments to spend a fraction of what they spend right now on traditional higher education, and many more people can be educated. So this is messages that we believe that we are sending, but also we believe that the more people are educated, not only that they raise their standard of living, they raise the standard of living of their communities and of their countries, but the more people educated, they'll also have reasons not to fight and to strive for normal life and not war. I think that the more people are open to other cultures, they are more open to see that maybe their conflicting countries or conflicting people, the people from the other side of the border, are exactly as they are. So I think that the more people are open to other cultures, they're more open to having different life and to strive for peace.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.